from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you guys are going to enjoy the weather once again. I think it's going to change over the weekend.
Oh, you, wait, Ursula, you're supposed to soften the blow.
I know. That's why I said, I hope you enjoy today because it's going to be nice again.
Yes, right. You did soften the blow. That's your new thing now.
Yeah.
Softening the blow.
I want soft landing for everybody.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Let's have some fun here. By the way, we are going to have a guest on our show coming up at 11:33. Chief of Police for the Bellevue Police Department, Chief Milette, will be joining our show, so stick around for that. But right now, let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty on all three charges in the murder of George Floyd. The most serious charge carries a sentence of up to 40 years. But legal experts say it's likely he will get between 12 and 14 years behind prison bars when the judge hands down the sentence in about 2 months. Gee, will you be disappointed if he only gets that much time?
Yes, I will be disappointed because there would be a feeling of, okay, we're going to go easier on him. I already believe that he's not going to be in general population anyways. I believe that he's going to serve his time different than someone else that commits murder. So in this case, getting 12 to 15 years in this, yes, I would be disappointed. Ursula?
I'm going to say no, because this is what you should expect. And it's not because he's going to be getting preferential treatment. It is what would be the sentencing guidelines that are set, in this case, in the state of Minnesota. And you would look, and the judge is going to consider mitigating factors. For example, you know, was George Floyd more of a more vulnerable because of his health conditions, you know, or... The judge will look at things that could add additional years, but there is a range. When you say it carries a sentence of up to 40 years, that would be the absolute maximum, but that would not be the usual. You would have to prove, you know, he's got a huge criminal record, which he doesn't. You would have to prove other things that would give him up to 40 years. So I think it's important for people to understand that just because the sentence can carry up to that many years, it doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. The one thing I would be disappointed with, though, is if he's going to appeal. I mean, it's absolutely a certainty he will appeal. And if there is someone, and it just takes, again, a judge somewhere who says, you know what, his defense was just awful, they did a horrible job, and it was a miscarriage of justice, or someone says, you know what, it was the case was troubled from the start. People like Maxine Waters and others were going to make it impossible. You know, the threats made to was it a potential juror or someone where there was a pig's head? You know, so, you know, could that have tainted the jury before they even reached their verdict? So you don't know what could happen down the line. That would be very disappointing. But I think people need to get the facts now. Do not expect him to get 40 years. That's not. That would be highly unusual if that were to happen.
Like Pierce County, Snohomish County now has coronavirus case counts high enough to mean it's at risk of being ordered back to phase two. County Health Director Dr. Chris Spitter says with the current trajectory, the county could hit numbers for the even tougher phase one in just 3 weeks. The next announcement on rollbacks is expected May 3rd. Should we be going back to phase two?
Okay, I'll start on this one. And I want to say no, we shouldn't, because I know that's going to be the more popular thing. However, if there is a continued increase in cases, and we want to continue having, you know, kids in school and doing things that we can't roll back, then I'm willing to face more restrictions if we can keep the hospitals from being overwhelmed. They aren't right now, but we do not want to wait until that point. And I don't think this is going to be for the long term. I know there's this feeling like, oh my gosh, well, we're just going to keep going. We're going to keep going. And if this were to happen, I think, again, more needs to be done to help those small businesses. That money to help them stay afloat needs to be given much more freely if we are going to be doing these rollbacks, because it is too disruptive. But again, we need to get this under control, and we're almost there.
No, do not roll back. And I have some few concessions, right? You guys want to roll back? If you want to roll back to phase two, let's do every other thing. Let's leave the businesses, like the restaurants and the gyms, let's leave them alone so they can make their money. Roll back in every other aspect.
School?
I'd rather roll back on the schools than the businesses. But
no, I wouldn't.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's a pick and choose on this one right here. But on this, because this is a clear, like, it is no secret that the only people that are hurt by the rollback from 3 to 2 are restaurants and gyms. How about you just make a small concession, which you can, and say, hey, we're going to roll back to phase two. Here's the other areas where we're going to roll back. But the gyms and the restaurants, you guys, we're going to still allow you to do your thing, because I'm not totally convinced that it's the restaurants that are the reasons for the upticks. I believe that the upticks and the reasons for that in cases are gatherings that are happening, not necessarily in the restaurants, but at people's homes, not the restaurants. Let's quit penalizing them.
Okay, you know what? You make a great point, G, and you make an absolutely wonderful point. So how do we deal with those gatherings then?
Well, go to people's homes and police it that way.
Sure. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, you make a good point, and I hate to say anything that could be more harmful to any businesses. Understand that. It's just, yeah, but we cannot get, it's like we're almost there. We are almost there. And maybe the answer is, let's just all personally do better. How's that?
A Norfolk, Virginia lieutenant who donated $25 to help Kyle Rittenhouse's, defense fund has been fired. With his donation, he wrote that Rittenhouse did nothing wrong when he killed 2 men during a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He said other officers felt the same way. The city and police department gave him the boot, saying he violated their policies. Should the cop have been fired immediately?
G?
No. Ah, a lot of you guys thought, oh my goodness, G, you said earlier, I know what I said earlier. I understand him being fired. But I don't like, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Did he get a little due process? I didn't feel that they did. I feel like he went a little fast on firing him. I mean, they fired him right away. I mean, let's get a little due process. I mean, Ursula, they ain't even let the letter settle. It still had.
Well, I think it had been like a week.
It's
or
been
so,
since
right?
September.
Yeah. Oh.
It's been since September. I had to put a little
extra on
it. Okay,
I was going to say, please.
Yeah,
I think we just got wind of it in the past week, right?
Right.
Okay, so I am all about due process, but there are times when you do have to act immediately. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you have to look at what harm this knowledge could do to the rest of the police department and the community. And in this case, I think it would be too damaging to, you know, and again, to for this lieutenant to say, all of other officers feel the same way I do. Nothing wrong happened. You've got 2 people who were killed. And yes, there are people who are supportive of Kyle Rittenhouse, and not just Ricky Schroeder, but others who say, it was an act of self-defense. That's what he's claiming. But I'll also point out that there are also, he's a hero among white supremacists. Wasn't he seen at a bar shortly after being celebrated? It doesn't look good, and it hurts the police department and the city at a time when everything needs to be done so that the community has trust with their police department. So in this case, I would say that the city and the police department did do the right thing.
The U.S. put a pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to investigate a rare side effect, deadly blood clots. But has pausing the shots discouraged people from getting vaccinated?
Do you want to start on this one?
The pause was not a good thing. I do not believe that the pause was a good thing. Because here's what we're going to find out, I believe, this Friday, right? We're gonna find out whether or not it's J&J is going to be a go. Let's just say hypothetically that they say, yes, it's a go. By the way, I do believe that they will say yes. But let's just say that they do. When they do let it be a go, how many people are going to go want to get the J&J? There's going to be so many people discouraged from getting that. Now, I understand what just happened. There were six cases from women. Ursula, I don't remember. I don't know if they said the age in which they were.
They were younger. They were in their mid-40s and younger.
But 6 out of 6 million. Like, there are risk involved in a lot of things, and I'm not saying that this is not something to be cautious about.
Okay.
And there's a risk.
Can I give you another one? I'm just looking at this right now. This
is
new information. So, an 18-year-old woman in Nevada has needed 3 brain surgeries after developing blood clots linked to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So, that is one of the 6 women in the U.S. Reported. 1 person died. And of course, yes, the vaccine-linked blood clots are still very rare. 6 documented cases among 7 million doses. But okay.
So in that case, I mean, let us know about it, right? Hey, just so you guys know, this is a side effect. This is what happened. Being transparent is great. Something happens with Pfizer. Something happened with Moderna. Being transparent is great. Being transparent and then stopping and going pause. I just don't believe that that's going to work out for the good. Watch. I would like to hear from you guys. 98973. If and when Johnson & Johnson is set to go again, if that happens, do you want to go and get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Go ahead, Ursula.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree with you, and I think it was very important for them before this became a much bigger deal. Okay. If you were to be able to say, the government knew that there were these cases, these 6 documented cases, not to mention, I mean, if you go on TikTok, there are a lot of people who are reporting this, that, and the other thing about the vaccine. And again, I've gotten the vaccine. I got the Moderna. I would strongly recommend it. If I had to get the Johnson & Johnson, I would get that too. But I would want to know that it was looked at, that there is some kind of reassurance that what they saw, because these blood clots are different from the other kinds that you can get from the
birth control. Right.
I would want that assurance before I put that shot, you know, and that could be a shot that I would use in the future. You know, just because I didn't do it this time, that may be something that I have to have a year from now. So absolutely, I would want to know that there was at least an investigation into it to make sure that it isn't a bigger problem because if you continue and then you find out, well, first of all, you've got a huge lawsuit. Secondly, more importantly, you got more people who died unnecessarily, and then you are going to still make people distrustful of this particular vaccine. So I don't think anything was lost by putting it on pause for a few days.
I just want to add, and I'll admit, okay, Ursula, I am grabbing at low-hanging fruit by bringing this point up.
Oh,
I'll admit,
boy.
So it's not, I'll admit it. Tobacco, cigarettes, we all know about the warnings.
Yes. And do you see how big the warnings have been? And how long did it take before we got those warnings? And how many lawsuits have there been against tobacco companies?
Well, yeah, you know what? As Pfizer and vaccine, Pfizer and Moderna, we don't know everything about it either.
Right. But in this case, there were people who were had extreme reactions to something in a population that it was unusual to see that. And I really think there's no harm in – I would be much more comfortable getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine knowing that they looked into it and this was just – these were anomalies.
I just want to say there's a lot of people that are texting in and saying that they're going to wait for the Johnson & Johnson.
Because they want to have it.
They won't. They want to wait some time after this mm-hmm. whole pause. And I think that's going to okay. happen for a lot of people.
But, you know, wouldn't that have happened if they didn't pause? If you heard that there were these blood clots, but, oh, just keep on going.
That's a good point. I can't answer that question. That's a very good question, Ursula. I don't know. That's you know, I'll shut up.
Okay,
now.
Text us. For those who said that, text us again. Okay, here's our last one, Laura. You're doing great.
Thanks. Portland has canceled their annual naked bike ride for the second year in a row. But event coordinators are encouraging riders to go on their own naked bike rides every full moon of the summer. So, G and Ursula, I have to ask, would you go on a naked full moon bike ride?
Let me go first. Probably some of the best things about the experiences, both that I'm proud of and the ones that I'm not so proud of, is they make for excellent stories. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you this. How many people do you know in your life that have taken advantage and been a part of a naked bike ride? Absolutely. I want to just check in with my bosses first because I don't know what the contract says about me being on a bike naked riding somewhere. Ursula, I would absolutely do this.
On a full moon. You know how crazy people get on full moons anyway? Now you want to do a naked bike ride every full moon during the summer?
I mean, I'm not going to do it every time, but just one time. One time to be able to say you did it. And in that way, when you get up to the pearly gates, you know, when they meet you up there, like, hey, you enjoyed your life. Sure did.
Of course it's Portland, though. With the annual naked bike ride. Although we have one here, too. Did they cancel it here, too? Because they do it at Fremont.
Fremont Solstice.
I live in Fremont on the parade route.
Yeah. Okay, do you make sure that you mark your calendar so you can go out there and watch the bike riders? I've never gotten this, and it sounds like a painful situation, if you know what I'm saying. And it's just not anything I want to see. Certainly not anything I want to take part in. So, no. Anyway.
Yeah. 253 says, in college, we went on a naked bike ride around town in Ann Arbor, Michigan. By the way, Ann Arbor, Michigan, that's where the University of Michigan is. In my college days, I would go up to Ann Arbor, Ursula. Ann Arbor, that's a fun Midwest town.
Good college town, huh?
Yes, it is. Hey, we got a guest coming up next. You want to tell the folks who we got coming in, Ursula?
We've got Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette. We've had him on the show before, and we want to get his reaction to the Derek Chauvin verdict and also find out what Bellevue is doing in terms of police reform. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. Listening to the G and Ursula Show. This is Wednesday morning's edition, and we are sponsored this hour by Guardian Operations. So it was last summer when Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette addressed a crowd of protesters who had gathered following the death of George Floyd. And Chief Milette got on his knee and had an open dialogue with this group of protesters. He condemned the actions of the Minneapolis police officers and also talked about how his own police force is learning and moving forward. And we had Chief Milette join us shortly after that, and we have asked the chief to join us again now. Good morning, Chief Milette.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Just to start off our conversation, what was your reaction after seeing yesterday's verdict?
You know, I wasn't surprised, but there was a sense of relief. I think that's been expressed quite a bit around the nation. Because I really believe the jury was going to get it right, and I was glad that they did. But there's always, you never know what a jury's going to do, and I think any attorney would tell you that. And I am so pleased that they got it right.
And Chief Milette, to follow up too, you said that the jury got it right. One of the things that was maybe remarkable, or some people called historic, was that the police chief of Minneapolis, or former, and some of the other officers had testified against Derek Chauvin. Is that a change that you see needed to happen, or you think is going to help moving forward?
You know, Ursula, I've been wearing the uniform for 32 years, and I've witnessed the transition of that code of silence. Mm. And I don't know, at least in my career, my experience, it wasn't as prevalent as I believe the public thinks it was. Again, in my experiences, that is in all but gone now. If when it existed once upon a time, in my experience currently, we don't see that. And so it did not surprise me to see the chief get up and say that Derek Chauvin did not act within policy. He didn't act within policy. It didn't surprise me to have fellow officers of the Minneapolis Police Department get up and say, that does not represent us. He wasn't trained to do that. We don't condone that. I would have been very, very disappointed if I heard anything different.
Chief Mylett, I just want to comment on what you just said. My father's best friend, who was law enforcement for 35-plus years, said exactly what you just said this morning. He said that years ago, in his time, he would have never have seen what he is seeing today when it comes to police officers speaking out on other actions of other police officers. Let's change gears here. How's the morale within your department, the Bellevue Police Department?
Gee, I appreciate you asking that question. Like most police officers across the country, officers are doing their best to overcome the skepticism, the lack of trust that many people in the public have towards policing right now. I think the vast majority, if not all, resent the fact of what Derek Chauvin caused by his criminal actions. It's been a very difficult year with all the civil unrest and the violence, and but they're staying focused on why they became police officers, and that is to serve the public. And they realize, at least here in Bellevue, and I think in our surrounding communities, that the public does support the police department. And while certainly they're going to compare us to other departments, they realize that we are not that police department, and our officers do not, you know, Derek Chauvin does not represent us.
Talk about some of the changes. I hear some police agencies have made some changes, implemented some things. Can you talk about any at all changes that have been made within the Bellevue Police Department, sir?
Absolutely. So, you know, you may know, G, that we have accreditation through the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. So we are forced to constantly evaluate our policies, our procedures, our practices to ensure that we are in line with best practices for our profession. So reform for us is an ongoing thing, and it has been since 1997. So, you know, we're constantly challenging ourselves. Great ideas are coming from our line employees. And I am proud to say that less than 6% of all law enforcement agencies in the United States are accredited through CALEA. But some of the changes that we made this past year in response to everything that, you know, we witnessed across the country is we recognize the need to formalize our de-escalation policy. It's woven into everything that we do, and it's the focal point of all of our interactions, but we recognize that we didn't have it formalized in our policy. So I'm about to sign it into policy this week. We're launching what's called the ABLE program, Active Bystander for Law Enforcement Officers. In a nutshell, basically what it does, it trains officers on how to intervene when they see another officer about to make the wrong decision or actively making the wrong decision. And to prevent, and this certainly applies to use of force and the wrong level of force being used in a situation, and training officers to do that and to stop an officer from doing something that either they're unintentionally doing or they're intentionally doing, and then report it. And then based on community input, we moved the vascular neck restraint technique to the same level of use of force as a firearm, meaning deadly force. And again, we're constantly looking at our operation, listening to the community, and making adjustments.
And speaking about that, I see that earlier this month, so this was that report at the Office of Independent Review Group, and some of the recommendations also included number of times a taser should be deployed. Was that part of that report, or is that?
Yes, it was, Ursula. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the OIR report. That is something that we embrace. So when the mayor and the city manager asked me what my thoughts were about, you know, signing on to the mayor's pledge, I said, absolutely. Let's bring in a third party and let's look at our use of force policy. I will, as the chief and my employees feel the same, we'll take recommendations wherever they can come from if it strengthens our use of force policy or any of our policies in the police department. So they made 47 recommendations, and one of them has to do with Taser, and we're evaluating those recommendations as we speak, actually. I have all of them listed on my dry erase board, and we're looking at each one individually.
Unconscious bias training. What type of unconscious bias training does the Bellevue police officers participate in? And if so, how often does that happen?
Gee, it really is one of the things that we consider the backbone of what we teach, and it's at the forefront of our training programs. We all have it. You know, we all recognize now that these things are very implicit, and we may not even realize that these biases are showing up. So all of our officers in the state of Washington get extensive training in the academy. In Bellevue, once the officer comes back to our agency, they have annual training. At least once a year, they go through a formal training program. There is constant discussions at the squad level. So before every officer in patrol specifically hits the streets, they meet with their sergeant and their other shift mates for 15 minutes, 30 minutes for a shift briefing, and those discussions are occurring at the squad level. So it's an ongoing thing. One of the things that we did is we partnered with the FBI, and we had members from the Quantico office fly out here to teach courses on implicit bias and cultural competency. And then, of course, the city of Bellevue is, in my opinion, is a leader in this area in hosting and developing training courses for all of our employees in the city. And, of course, our police officers and civilian staff attend those as well.
Chief Milette, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we want to have you on soon.
Thank you, Ursula. Thank you, G.
Appreciate you. Coming up next, it is time to get your feedback, your texts. Ursula, I need you to read the text right now.
Oh, no.
Read the text, Ursula. And then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to The G and Ursula Show. It is The G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday. It's now time to get all these good old text feedback. And then Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
And we're going to start with the guilty verdict for Derek Chauvin, 425. A woman named Pam, a listener named Pam, says, gee, you just said you probably shouldn't be this ecstatic over the guilty verdict. Yeah, you should. Somehow I had a feeling that this guy would not get off, and thank God I was right. Hopefully this is a first step.
206 says, I'm an attorney. I thought Chauvin's attorney did the best he could in light of the evidence. The lawyer who wasn't able to get an obvious murderer a not guilty verdict shouldn't be faulted for the guilty verdict.
206 says, gee, I cried listening to you on the way to work today. I couldn't stop crying. Such an emotional day yesterday. I'm so glad your mother was able to witness history.
On bad responses to the Chauvin verdict, 425 says, when the Raiders hired a new coach, they posted a picture of the wrong guy. Raiders have a tough time.
206 says, totally agree with G on term limits for Congress and House of Representatives.
Because of
Nancy Pelosi's comment.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Nancy. On moving back to phase two, 425 says, you may have noticed the officials aren't saying what is causing the spikes in the virus, but I can tell you what is. It's anywhere and everywhere people yell or breathe heavily. There are two places that are creating all the spikes: gyms and drinking establishments.
Okay, that's one person's opinion. Okay, Phil in Gig Harbor says, the metrics need to evolve just like this virus does. Using even six-month-old metrics doesn't take into account the new variables such as vaccination rates. By not evolving the metrics, we are in effect trying to use algebra to solve calculus. Sure, calc uses algebra because algebra is the starting point for math, but you need different and more complicated equations to be successful in calculus. Just my thoughts.
Yo, I bet feeling Gig Harbor.
I love that.
He's smart. I bet he is. He knows his math. 206 says, us mechanics have lost nearly everything over the lockdowns. It affects everyone. They need to end. Open up. The businesses aren't to blame.
When it comes to pausing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, 206 says, I would still get the vaccine. The pause was too quick, but it's good that this was reported to the other side. As an emergency department registered nurse, there have been a large uptick of people coming in complaining of symptoms related to the J&J vaccine that had already been disseminated with that one and the other vaccines. There is a panic culture.
Jeff in Botho says, I would love the J&J vaccine if possible. We take a risk every time that we do any type of vaccine.
And he has company. 206 says, I will wait for the J&J shot because I want one and done.
360 says, 1 in 1 million people get blood clots from the J&J vaccine. What percentage of people get lung cancer from smoking? What percentage of people get in accidents when driving? You're telling me 1 in 1 million is causing people to freak out when the risks are much higher with everyday activities?
And then there are a bunch of texts on our conversation with Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette. Stephen Northgate says, hooray for Steve Milette. Us Steves are always trying to make the world a better place to live. And I know, G, that you really enjoyed our conversation, too. He was great.
Chief Milette, you were fantastic to come on. Now, Ursula, start to read the best part of the text.
Okay. This is on Portland's annual naked bike ride happening every full moon of the summer. 360 says, I did the Fremont one. It was unforgettable and magical.
206 says, a naked bike ride, by definition, is a full moon. Hey, do me a favor, Ursula.
Uh-huh.
The next time you talk to Honey,
yes,
ask her if she would participate in Portland's annual naked bike ride.
Okay, Honey's my sister, in case anyone doesn't know.
All right.
I could probably answer that one for you. Okay.
Let's get to work. No, we got to get to your words to live by, Ursula.
Yes. And this is an unknown author, but I love it. When you choose love over hate, faith over despair, and acceptance over intolerance, you are doing your part to change the world. Let's go change the world.
Hey.
Love you guys.
Love you back. Thank you, Ursula. Laura Scott, you have been amazing. Wait a minute. Are you going to be with us the rest of the week?
I sure am.
Hey, thank you so much for your help. And, of course, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, guys.
You've been great. Andrew, always thank you, brother, for all your help that you do behind the board. Thank you. And then thank the rest of you guys for listening to our show. Enjoy the rest of the weather. Go out there and be great in the world. Appreciate you guys for listening. Love you for that, and be good.